Hello, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the constructors. Thank you. Well done.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
You're the world champion. You're the triple world champion, Sebastian Vettel. You are the man. You're a triple world champion.
Can I do donut?
Donuts will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. It's round six of the 2013 season, and it's the one we've all been waiting for, Monaco, the most famous and glamorous race on the calendar. Squeezed in between the jagged hills which rise so sharply and the harbour full of the multi-million pound yachts on a shimmering Mediterranean sea, there is no better stage for drivers to show off their abilities. It's one of the toughest and most challenging racetracks in the world. It demands the very best of the drivers, both physically and mentally. It's a very long race on a short track, and you always need to be 100% focused on every corner. There is no room for error. One wrong move and you could be in the barrier, which generally leads to more safety car periods at this race than any other. There are 19 turns on a 3.34 kilometer lap. The race is made up of 78 laps, an overall distance of 260.520 kilometers. Some of the world's biggest celebrities flock to Monaco each year for the four-day F1 party, and several make the Red Bull Energy Station their base. After all, if you're going to kick back and enjoy a motor race, then what better place to do it than the most glamorous sporting events on the planet? It continues to shine as the sports jewel in the crown, but don't take my word for it. Here are some of the huge stars and athletes that enjoyed the Energy Station over the weekend, including pro skateboard legends Tony Hawk and Corbin Harris, plus champion skiers Axel Sivendal and Marcel Hirscher.
Formula One, it's almost an expression, because it's like, you know, people like to say that the downhill is like the downhill skiing is the Formula One of winter sports. I think that's a huge compliment, because when I race downhill races, it's definitely nothing like Monaco right now. I mean, even though Kitzbühel, we have like tons of spectators, and there's, you know, everything, the surroundings, there's big parties, there's like, you know, the VIP stuff, all that stuff going on. But once you put the word Formula One in there, you expect it to be beyond what's normal, and that's really what Formula One is.
It was a good decision to come here. I never expected it would be that loud. The sound is awesome. The other thing is it is a very, very, very small race track, so it is unbelievable how they can manage it to race there together. So very impressive for me.
This is my first time to Monaco, and it's pretty amazing so far. I love it. It's really good. I like being in Melbourne for it too, but this is like, it's pretty special to be here as well.
And where did you watch qualifying from?
Yeah, we started off in the Energy Station, then we took a quick trip out on one of the Red Bull boats, and we came back, and then we just watched the end of it just then, so yeah.
Can you just describe to our listeners quickly what it's like when you're out on the boat, what you see, what you hear?
For me, really, it's a little surreal. There's, you know, millions and millions of dollars around you in boats and cars, and, you know, it's an amazing place, a tiny city that's just squashed into this little area, and with a lot of people having a lot of fun.
Coming up on the podcast, we speak to both our drivers. We hear from podcast favourites David Coulthard, Sebastian Buemi and Christian Horner. Plus, we talk to spaceman and world record holder Felix Baumgartner. Onto the race here this weekend. First, and our drivers scored a double podium finish for the team today at the 2013 Monaco Grand Prix. Big congratulations to Mercedes' Nico Rosberg, who won the race with Sebastian coming second and Mark taking third podium spot. Lewis Hamilton, Adrian Sutil, Jenson Button, Fernando Alonso, Toro Rosso's Jean-Éric Vergne, Paul de Resta and Kimi Räikkönen completed the top 10. Here are Sebastian and Mark after the race.
Bit of a shame. I had a fantastic start, but no place to go. So maybe for next year they can move some buildings and make it a little bit wider. It was a shame because I had a mega start. I think I could have, if there was a, you know, bridge, I could have gone over them. So, but yeah, unfortunately no room. And after that, sitting in third, a bit surprised in the beginning because they weren't going, and it felt like they were going on a bus cruise, you know, in the south of France rather than racing. But clearly it was obvious what they tried to do, trying to achieve a certain number, making the stint as long as possible and achieving a one-stop strategy, which I think would have been tight for them and for us as well, even though we went slow in the beginning. Obviously, like that, there's no gaps you could drop into, so it was our hands were tied in terms of strategy. And then I think we had pace, but we had to look after the tires at the same time, so not too interesting all the time managing tires, sitting behind and not being able to push. I had a little bit of a go two laps to the end and a bit of an argument with my engineer. I apologize for that, but I needed to charge the car today, so I had to push for at least one lap. I'm happy, but I should have done a better job yesterday in a way, so happy with the result today for sure. I think it's good for the championship, etc., all that, but we didn't win, so, and in Monaco the winner takes it all. I think we had the pace today to win, but it's difficult to overtake. I think fair play to Nico, he did a great job and fully deserves to win, no doubt about that, but it's kind of not completely satisfying if you're not able to have a go, because around here, the person you try to overtake, the guy you try to overtake, is pretty smart in certain areas, then it's impossible to pass.
Well, it became quite clear early in the race that the super soft tyre was probably going to last reasonably well, going quite long. When it gets to sort of the mid-20s, let's say, in terms of laps, it means that the one stop's coming into play. So I think that the race was going to be, in terms of strategic options, quite straightforward from that point on, people just covering each other off on a one stop. For the safety car factor, I was happy to get Lewis, but also nearly got Seb, so it would have been nice to get Seb, but Adrian, I was behind him. I think he was about to pit, but he saw the safety car, and I think he must have saw, I don't know what he saw, but he was backing off massively, and I had to sit behind him a little bit, because you can race from SC1 to SC2, obviously. So in the end, satisfied with the result. A weekend like this, you can easily end up with nothing. Obviously, I saw Felipe again, Zandvoort, so that can happen to Monaco. So, a good result for us. Sort of a difficult Monaco Grand Prix, I think, for the drivers and saving the tyres and things like that.
Monaco is a very special place for David Coulthard. Not only is it a venue where he scored lots of Formula One points, it's also the place he calls home. Laura managed to catch up with him after the race to find out what he made of it.
Okay, David, so do your post-race party piece for us and give us an evaluation of the race we just saw.
I don't want to be a party pooper, but I didn't think that was a great race in terms of really seeing the drivers going wheel to wheel. It was a clearly very strategic race in managing the tyres and trying to deliver a one stop. In the end, it was obviously effectively two because of the red flag. Nico Rosberg, you have to say, deserved the victory. He was quickest man all weekend and he really then delivered a flawless drive out front. I think it was a good comeback for Red Bull, given that Mercedes had the front row lockout. So to get second and third is a good result for Seb and Mark. It helps in the Constructors' Championship as well. But I just can't help but feel that all the drivers would have had more of a goal if the tyres had been a little bit more resilient.
And it's your local race. How does that affect your preparations? Do you get a lot longer in bed or longer in Rascas?
Yeah, I was at the Red Bull party on the floating energy station last night until 2, which I regretted this morning when my son was jumping on my head at 6:30. It's actually quite a busy weekend for me. And like a driver, it was always reasonable high stress because you're in the focus and in demand. And okay, I'm not a driver anymore, but I'm still quite busy and doing a number of events. And that does take it out of you. So I'm kind of looking forward to tonight, actually, letting my hair down and having a bit of fun.
And you actually spent some time behind the bar serving drinks to our competition winners last night at the party. Tell us about that. How excited were they on a scale of 1 to 10?
They were good blokes, actually. They did very well and they were nice, and therefore the least I could do was get behind the bar and pour them a drink. So it was a nice experience, I think, and well, for them it was a chance of a lifetime.
Yeah, brilliant. Where will we see you tonight?
I will be going to Amber Dining, then Amber Lounge.
Okay, lovely. See you there.
Thank you.
Bye.
Monaco attracts the great and good of sports, royalty and even Hollywood. This weekend we saw the likes of David Hasselhoff, Cameron Diaz, Ron Howard and even Chris Evans. You can see the pictures at rebelracing.com. Laura spoke to daredevil, spaceman and world record holder Felix Baumgartner. Here's how he found his Monaco experience.
Felix, you're here with us in Monaco this weekend. Obviously Formula One's very thrilling to all of us race fans, but can it ever be thrilling to you, given that you've jumped from outer space?
Oh yeah, I absolutely think it could, because I was watching the qualifying yesterday from the Red Bull box, and it's so intense, you know, just when they start the engine, you know, you can feel massive power, and I love speed, you know, I'm addicted to speed, and I would love to race a car like that, you know. I'm not sure if I can do it, you know. Actually, I think I can't do it, but I would love to try to, because I'm sure just one lap in a race car like this would give me the exact same thrill that I had on Red Bull Stratos.
Do you think that's a possibility, we could get you in the car?
It's up to you guys, you know.
Okay.
I was talking to David Coulthard yesterday, and he's doing something tomorrow on a racetrack, and he's trying to put me in a three-seater. So I'm looking forward to that, because it's going to be your first introduction to a race car.
Okay, so you're a spaceman and a world record breaker. Does normal life seem boring, given that you've done such exciting things and achieved so much?
Well, I enjoy it very much, because working on Red Bull Stratos for 5 years has been so intense and breathtaking, and it was such a hassle sometimes, you know, because we had a lot of up and downs. We dropped the ball many times, but we picked it up again. I never lost focus, because I was 100% confident that this is going to be successful. But sometimes it really felt like it's blown out of proportion, getting bigger and bigger every day, you know. So I'm really happy that it's over and we completed that mission successfully. But in the future, I want to take it a little bit easier, you know. So I'm constantly on the road since I've done this jump, talking to a lot of people, talking to a lot of kids, because we definitely inspired the next generation. What's really cool to me is that a lot of young kids have been saying, Felix, we're so thankful for what you did, because this was our personal moon landing. And that's definitely a great honor.
Can you remember what the first meal you had when you landed was?
It was a coffee at Starbucks.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, this was our hot spot there. There's nothing in Roswell except that little coffee store, and everybody was there. The whole team, you know, we spent there almost every day after working, and that was such a connection spot, because you knew everybody there, you know. And every time when we were there, we had pressure, because we were working on Red Bull Stratos, you know. But when it was done, it was such a relief, and then it totally felt different when we were there, because everybody was laying back, like, okay, we did it, we have it. All the people there were happy. So that was not a meal, but it was the first drink that I had.
Is there any way that you can put into words for our listeners how it felt when you landed?
I was just the happiest person in the world, you know, because even if we have 100% prepared, and our main priority was safety, you never know how it turns out until you land, because there's so many little things that could go wrong, and it's like in a watch, you know, there's just one little wheel that's damaged, and it destroys the whole concept, you know. So when I landed, the first thing that I thought, I was not worried about falling at supersonic speed, because I still didn't know did I break the speed of sound or not, but I was just happy that I'm alive.
And what's your next goal?
Well, I always had two dreams since I was a little kid. My first dream was becoming a sidever, which I did, you know, and the second dream was becoming a helicopter pilot. But I could never afford to take lessons because I had no money. And in 2006, I went to Los Angeles, did my first helicopter license there. And now I'm a commercial helicopter pilot. I have more than 1,100 hours. And I want to work as a commercial helicopter pilot in the future. Firefighting, mountain rescue, ferry flights here in Monaco. I was watching these guys, and I have an offer for that. So that's pretty exciting. And again, I'm in the air, and this is where I belong to.
We've been running the hashtag Push the Boundaries over our Twitter account this year. And you're someone that really epitomizes that statement. But we just want to know what you think it means to push the boundaries.
Well, they always say the sky's the limit, you know. And this is what I think, too, because this is my personal experience for so many years. Everything that you can think of, if you try hard enough, if you push, if you never lose focus, if you're willing to go the extra mile, you can reach it, you know. The goal has to be big enough, because otherwise if it's too small, you lose track, you know. But I accomplished everything that I had in mind. It was not easy. It was never happened right away. It was a long, long work, you know, a lot of problems to solve, but also learned a lot of all these years, you know. So everything you can imagine, if you try hard enough, it will happen.
And then the final question we have for you is that the boys in our garage, when they're working on the RB9, they have a playlist that they play very loudly in the garage, and we'd like you to nominate a song to go into that playlist and tell us your reasons why.
Let me look at my playlist.
Okay.
Where's my phone? We did a song for Red Bull Stratos, my friend and I.
Okay.
Yeah? I would recommend that. It's No Limit. Wait a second, I have to find it.
Okay, well, that's a great note to end on. No Limit. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for inviting me for this little podcast. It's my first one, I guess.
And that's what I call a tune. Number one written all over it. We mentioned it, but Monaco really is a driver favourite. When it comes to racing, Laura spoke to our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, to find out what makes it so special to him.
Okay, so Sebastian, take us on an audio lap of Monaco.
Yeah, I guess on the first corner, very tricky, quite bumpy there on the braking, and then you do the first corner normally in third gear. It's a very important corner because it's followed by the uphill, very long straight, so you've got to carry as much speed as possible. Then you enter into corner three and four, which are very high speed corners, one of the quickest corner around the circuit. So you start to go into the corner in fifth gear, down to fourth, and then you go down to the end of the first sector into corner five. You've got to avoid this little bump before Mirabeau, corner five, and then from that corner you go straight into Loeuvres, which is the slowest corner of the circuit, around 45 kph, and after that you've got another two slow speed corner just before going into the tunnel. That's two right-hand corners. Again, the one just before the entry of the tunnel is very important because this is, I would say, the only place where you have a clear chance of overtaking. So you've got to carry as much speed as possible. And then the corner nine into the tunnel is always flat at corner, but you know, with cold tires, not so easy. And then into the chicane, corner 10 and 11. Yeah, like I said, good possibilities of overtaking. And then out of this chicane, again, a long straight going into corner 13, very high-speed corner. After that, we've got the swimming pool chicane, which is above 200 kph. That's the quickest corner of the circuit. And it's just followed by a second chicane, which is very tricky. Lots of curbs and not easy to drive it, but very, very good for the driver. And after that, we arrive in the last sector of the circuit with two slow-speed corners. First of all is Raskas one, which is a very famous corner. We've seen today some overtaking there, but still, you know, very, very tight corner, so not easy to pass anyone there. And then the last corner, a second gear corner, again, very important because it's followed by the main straight, which is also a tricky one because it's a little bit blind.
Is it your top circuit of all time?
I mean, it's a special circuit. We come here only once in a year, and it's very special because it's in the city, and the development of the circuit through the weekend is very big, so it gets quicker and quicker and quicker, and you've just got to get better and better and follow this trend, and this is not really easy. And we've seen always some spectacular racing here. Today was one of those races where you never knew what could happen, and many things happened until the last lap. You know, I think it's quite difficult for the drivers. It's very challenging. It's a long race with more than 70 laps, but definitely I think every driver's really enjoy it.
Okay, and obviously the setup's quite different here in that the paddock and the garages are separate. Could you explain how that affects both the drivers and the teams?
I would start to say that the whole weekend is very different because we drive on a Thursday and then we've got one day off, so it makes it a very, very long week, so quite demanding for all the team members and the drivers. And apart from that, like you've said, we've got the energy station in the harbour of Monaco, and it's not very close to the pits, which we are normally used to, and it takes a long time for the drivers to basically reach the garages. And you know, it's just demanding for the driver. There is loads of fans around. They always want photographs and autographs, but I would say that's part of the job, and it's only once in a year, so you know, we take it and enjoy it.
One last question. The boys in the garage obviously play their playlists up there to keep them motivated. We want to take a song selection from you for that, so one track that you would add to their playlist to keep them working on that RB9.
I would say something like Eminem, Till I Collapse. It's a really good one. I mean, especially when you're tired in the morning and you've slept only a couple of hours.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Another successful weekend in Monaco for us. Final word from Monte Carlo has to go to our team principal, Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him after the race.
So, end of another Monaco Grand Prix weekend. What was your best thing about this weekend?
The best thing was probably 33 points. You know, it's was a different type of race today, but you know, it all turned out, I think, reasonably well in the end.
And what was the worst thing of the 4 days?
Well, what's bad about Monaco? It's Difficult to say, really. I mean, the working conditions are different here to other races, but, you know, it's a challenge and it's a long weekend because it starts, obviously, with running on Thursday. But I think the guys have done an incredible job and, you know, in difficult conditions, and that hard work has paid off.
And how would you describe it to someone that hasn't been here before?
Totally nuts. It's like an unreal world here. And obviously the glamour of the Grand Prix brings it all to life with all the boats, the superstars, you know. I was going upstairs and had to ask somebody to move out of the way, and it was David Hasselhoff, you know, earlier, which is a bit surreal. But yeah, there's something quite unique about Monte Carlo.
Did you see any other celebrities?
I saw the guy that's doing the movie with Niki Lauda and James Hunt.
Yeah, Ron Howard.
Ron Howard, who used to be in, what was it, Happy Days. Yeah. And a few others. Cameron Diaz was there, and
Michael Douglas.
I didn't see Michael Douglas, but there was there's obviously quite a few of them floating around.
And we just touched on the race as well at the beginning, but are you happy with second and third?
Second and third, I think we'd have taken that yesterday for sure. You know, 33 points, especially with some of our nearest rivals not having the best of days as well. It's been a positive weekend for both championships.
That's it for this edition of the Red Bull Racing Podcast. As is now the tradition, we're off to take a fully clothed swim in the Energy Station pool to cool off. If you want to know more about what's going on in the paddock, in the pit lane or on the track, make sure you download the Red Bull Racing Spy app. All the details are on the website redbullracing.com. We leave Monaco with Sebastian still topping the driver's table, and with the team leading the Constructors' Championship. So, all in all, a very good weekend in the office. We'll be back from the next race in Canada in 2 weeks' time. Until then, take care.